Welcome to Diary of a Tax Practice Owner, the show where we say goodbye to burnout and hello to freedom through automation. We're Jamie and Jessica, and in each episode, we'll explore how you can transform your tax or accounting practice, giving you the freedom you desire as an entrepreneur. We'll share stories and lessons from industry pros who have successfully transitioned from being skill-based producers to thriving business owners. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools to build a business you love. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of Diary of a Tax Practice Owner. I am so thrilled to have my friend, a mentor, and a leader in this industry to talk with us today about money mindset. And this is going to be a juicy one, guys. But I have with me Alyssa J. Dillon. And Alyssa is an entrepreneur who is changing how we see business success. She has scaled her company to over $3 million and beyond, and she has helped over 3,000 women make six-figure incomes through her guidance. Alyssa believes in sustainable growth and scaling in a business without burning out. Don't we all want that? She has invested about $200,000 in coaching, which is probably the key to her success because investing into yourself is the greatest investment you can make. She's able to be the go-to for marketing and scaling businesses because she is really great at turning complicated tactics into easy to follow steps that actually work. And I will say myself that I have worked with Alyssa and I have learned marketing from Alyssa. She's actually one of the original mentors that helped me really get my business off the ground back in 2021, I think it was.
Yeah, 2021.
I fell into Alyssa's world and was enamored by this spicy little blonde who was out taking names. And I was like, I want that. And so I learned from Alyssa how she was connecting with so many people and providing them such great value. And so I'm excited for you to have your option, our opportunity to meet Alyssa and hear about her journey and hear some really important takes about money mindset today. So Alyssa, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yes, thank you for such a beautiful introduction. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to hang out and talk with you, especially about money mindset, making more money, one of my favorite subjects.
Oh, it's huge. As I will say, I'm an outsider, but I have an accounting degree. I fell into this industry and I have been very aware myself of my own money mindsets. And so when you come into an industry where there has been, I will say, a lack of opportunity to see what's possible when you focus on your mindset, gearing it towards growth and not only money, but also just personal growth and professional growth and making things better so that we can enjoy life more. And I see such opportunity in this industry to help change the way people think and view their businesses that they're creating and how they can grow them. So Alyssa, you have had a very interesting journey and I would love for you to share that with us and tell us about how you got into the accounting industry, how you back even maybe into your education, because I think people love hearing those journeys because they can relate to them. But there's also something about like seeing how other people have fallen into this path and being inspired. So will you take us back and share your story of how you got here today to helping over 3,000 women to create businesses they love?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I think that I want to start with, I think being a financial professional often looks like being on the other side of the keyboard, managing other people's money. And we look at it as, this is our job to manage their millions, but we're so desensitized to it that we forget to think about, can that be for me too, right? It's not for me also. They get to have this, but I don't, right? Because I picked this career path and this career path doesn't offer those opportunities, but I really think differently in this space. Like we should be helping people manage their millions and also be making our own millions. And who would be better to help somebody manage other millions if you're also making it? And so you really have that real life experience, right? So I want to just kick us off with that thought. But obviously, this thinking is not something that I was born with. I really do come from humble beginnings. And my mom was, it still is, a total hustler. I watched this woman be a hairdresser, a bartender, cleaning houses. She did all of the jobs to take care of me and really lived a life as like a single mom. And so I thought to myself, how can I never live like that? Right. Yeah. And so I was an artist. I competed at a pretty high level with art, and I've always been a creative, but I didn't want to be a starving artist. And so the other thing I was really good at was I was a total math genius. And I started with a community college, and I went in and took my initial testing. When you start at community college, I know they ask you to take these tests and find out, hey, where should we place you? And so they're like, wow, you're really good at math. And I was like, yeah, I guess. And they're like, no, you scored in like the top 99th percentile of like test takers for the math exam. And so I was like immediately placed into the highest level of like math, calculus, right? And I actually was a college math tutor. And so I really loved math. It was simple for me. It just, everything always made sense. And so when I started going to college, I had to take this. I actually started out as human services, believe it or not. I just wanted, I really,
surprised me.
Yeah, I've always had the heart to like want to help people. And I've always had that heart of like, well, I want to help people. How am I going to do that? Right. And so it was, I thought human services would be the way to go. Well, in human services, you had to take a business course. And so I took business 101, and shout out to my professor, Lauren Paisley. Lauren Paisley was off in China. And so my accounting professor came in, Cheryl Cork, and she taught us accounting. And I thought, I bet I'd be damn good at it, right? And so I changed my major that day to accounting. And so that is really what put me on the path to becoming a financial professional is just class. Like I was like, I could do this. Like I'm good at math. I love numbers. They make sense. And I also was around this time learning that human services people were often pretty broke. And so I was like, I'm not looking for those streets. No. So it ended up being the right direction for me. I got my associate's degree from GCC. Shout out to GCC. And so went on to get an accounting job. I was in accounts payable, accounts receivable for some pretty large companies. Moved on to some other higher positions and eventually went back to school at RIT for my accounting degree. But really, it came down to this idea. I read something at one point that said, like, if you don't love blood and you don't like people that much, become an accountant. And it's not that I didn't love people, because I really do love people, but I realized that human services wasn't going to be great for me. And so I was like, well, I can't be a nurse because I would pass out every single time I would see blood. So I just thought it was like the right fit. And as much as I'm a creative, it's worked for me. And so ultimately, I like to tell people I got that far, but then I actually am like a failed accountant. Like I didn't finish my bachelor's degree. I am 3 credits away from a bachelor's degree. Yeah. There's so many people say like, just go back and get it. And it's like, it's not worth it at this point in my life. I literally do not have any desire to sign up for another class in college. Yeah. But went to RIT, didn't finish my education because I accepted a job as a CFO. And even like the RIT, what the heck is the guy's name? The head of Chancellor? The account. Yeah. Like the head of the accounting department.
Oh, the dean of the accounting department. Yeah.
So the dean of the accounting department ultimately ended up interviewing me, asking me how I got this job. And it was really just because of my experience. Like I had just worked my way up in all of these accounting positions and I kept getting promoted and kept getting promoted. And I just kept going after things that I didn't really know if I was qualified for. But I think, Jamie, you know this about me. I'm a go-getter. If I want something, I just go after
figure it out.
And I figure it out. And that's what I did. And so it wasn't until I had my 2 little babies, my 2 boys, who are not babies anymore. They're 7 and 8. But when they were 1 and 2, that I was like, I don't think I could stay in corporate. And so I never wanted to be an entrepreneur. I thought my dream job was going to be like this head honcho corner office CFO somewhere. But life had other plans for me. And when I had those boys, I just knew I needed more freedom. I needed the ability to make money on my terms and make a life for us on our terms, where I didn't have to ask people, can I go to this doctor's appointment? Can I go to this football game? Yeah. And so that is ultimately what led me into entrepreneurship and starting my firm, which was not supposed to be successful. It was supposed to be something that paid the bills so I could be a stay-at-home mom.
So tell us about your firm and how did you, like, I know it's what led you ultimately into the marketing side of things was the massive success you had, but how in those early days did you get started? And like, what was that journey like for you mentally? Out on your own, lack of security, young mouths to feed, all of the things. Like, how did you make that transition so that you did have this success?
I'm incredibly grateful for the delusion that I have. I wish more.
Everybody needs a little delulu in their lives. Yeah. That's how you succeed, man.
I am incredibly grateful for that. And I think everyone needs to just be a little bit delusional in order to succeed. It's like I had just this belief that I absolutely was not going to fail. It's like I was going to get clients and I was going to figure it out no matter what. And so that those first like 3 months, I really didn't get started. I was very much in the space of like, well, let's just see what happens. I started contacting a few people and I ended up getting my first 3 clients by making a couple posts in some Facebook groups. And next thing I know, intuitively, I realized what marketing was, right? I was like, man, I think if I just get visible in front of more people in more communities, I talk to more people and more people have the ability to see me and see what I'm capable of, and I continue to create value, I bet I'll get more clients that way. And so everything was a test. Everything was just data to me. And I just kept moving forward intuitively this way. And it was almost like marketing just became natural. I looked at it as how many relationships can I build? How many people can I talk to? It was based on the idea that every single time I've ever done an interview, I always got the job. So like, why would it be that if I didn't talk to people online that I wouldn't get the job, right? Like they would all want to hire me then. Like I was delusional in that way that it's like, well, everyone's going to want what I have, right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I think what comes with success is also having that confidence in yourself, right? Like people want to hire somebody who's confident. If you're confident in your skills and ability, then people are going to hire confidence in the skills and ability because they want somebody who can confidently take on what they have.
Right.
If you lack that confidence, I think that it's harder to gain clients because they can almost sense that. We have this sixth sense of like, oh, you don't really seem that confident that you can help me. And it's like, I knew I could help the world. I was like, I could help you. Sure. Right. And anytime I couldn't help somebody, I just told them. I was like, I have no idea how to do this. I took on an e-commerce client once and I was like, I have no idea how to do this. And you would have to pay for my education in it. And I don't want to do that to you. So let's find you somebody else. Right.
But that's also like knowing your own boundaries, right? Like, I think that is like, how much energy do I want to pour into being able to help this client? Because to your point, like you wanted to do the right thing and do good work for this person. So if you had said, yes, let's go ahead, you would have been going and getting a whole nother education to be able to support them to the degree that they needed. And I don't think that's necessarily the best path for somebody who's starting out. And I know a lot of people in the early days, they say yes to anybody that will take them, right? And I think it not to like call you out. If you're listening to this, you're like, that was me, but that's your lack of confidence showing of, I know that this person is not a good fit. Therefore, there's 10 people behind them ready to come in and fill that spot that is that are a good fit, and not having to take all those people on. I think that comes back to what we want to talk about today, which is money mindset. So all of you can continue your conversation, but just I wanted to mark that because that's a huge, like that's the shifting your mindset that was starting to happen, right? Like that was the early days. So continue on.
Yeah, absolutely. In the early days, it was the belief that every no led to a yes, and that I just had this thought process, like there are billions of people on this planet and billions of people are making money. So why not me too? Like, why not me?
Right.
And I'll tell you, at first, I think what's so important and to tie this into money mindset, at first, my goal wasn't millions, right? My goal was I want to make enough money to cover what my old salary was so I could buy groceries, contribute to my house, pay for my own student loans. I went to college and I wanted to be able to pay those student loans off sooner than later. Mm-hmm. I had a car. I had a cell phone. And I was very fortunate that my husband had a great job. And a lot of people question why I wasn't just going to be a stay-at-home mom, but it's just not my mentality, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was like, how do I make just enough to do what I need to do and get by? What I realized is making money, and I think the belief I shifted into was making money is actually pretty easy. Like, mm-hmm. I shifted into this, like, wow, like this is it. I just have to genuinely want to help people and connect with people, and I can get more clients with ease. It's that easy. It's that easy to make more money. If you really, truly want to help people, making money is easy. I think where people get stuck with making money online and in getting more clients is there's this, well, how do I make money, and not thinking about the client first, right? It's like, well, how do you want to serve someone first? Think about how you want to serve, and then everything else comes more naturally. And that's really what I was positioning myself as, like, how can I help you, right? And I didn't have to sell my services because they just naturally wanted what I had. Right. I was there saying, yeah, I'll help you with that. What do you need help with? What's going on? And we were getting clients with ease. Now, I think one of the most important things that helped me to grow so quickly is I never undervalued myself. And I decided quickly that I wasn't going to do hourly work. I decided quickly I was always going to price my clients based on profit margin if I needed to hire a team, based on if I had almost like fake expenses related to marketing, like what would be a client acquisition cost. Say it cost me, I had to go do the work to get this client. Let's say it took me an hour to get that client and my billing rate is $50 an hour. We have to build that in. So I always thought of each client as each client profitable, right? Mm-hmm. Where I think most people go wrong, and this is, I think, opens up us into more of a money mindset conversation, is so many firm owners look at those first clients as just another job. And so they're pricing themselves in comparison to the job they just left.
Or the $38 an hour or $50 an hour, whatever it is.
Right. So it's like, I just left this job making $38 an hour. And so now I'm getting paid $50 an hour. This feels so much better. Even if you're like, well, whoa, I'm not doing that though. I'm doing value-based pricing. Well, did it take you 6 hours to do it and you're only charging $350 a month? Because there's no room for expenses. There's no room to hire somebody to support you. And that allowed me the room to hire somebody to support me very quickly. I hired somebody in the first 3 months of my firm being open. And that was a game changer for me. It was realizing that the money that my company wasn't making wasn't my money. It was the company's money. I was paying myself based on profits out of the company. And it's not a job I was creating for myself. I was creating a new company. I was the CEO, and I elevated myself into that position immediately. And I think that, again, has a lot to do with money mindset. Who do you want to be paid as? Do you want to be paid as the employee, or do you want to be paid as the company owner?
Right. And I think, too, like, you may wear all the hats of the company like you did in the beginning, right? Yeah. Like, you were the marketing department. You were the admin. You were the janitor that cleared the garbage cans. Like, you have to do all those roles to get off the ground. But you're so right. Like, it's not targeting towards being the skilled producer. It is targeting towards that CEO role. And if you can look at yourself as valued there, and all the rest of this stuff just has to happen, too. It's so important. I think one other area that a lot of people forget about too in their money mindset is the technology that can help you be a better CEO and a better business owner and a better business, period, for your clients, right? And they forget to add those costs in there as well. They just think that they look at manpower and they're not considering the true costs of having systems in order to help support the team that you have on board so they can give a better client experience and be more efficient. And I think people forget about that part. And so I just wanted to call that out because it is a critical piece that is missed.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I teach pricing, and I teach this, I teach it as a cost plus pricing, right? And it's almost like going back to the basics of teaching accounting and financial professionals and tax professionals, accounting and financial, like we're going back to accounting 101. Like, remember, this is your COGS, right? These are your fixed costs. These right? We're like, we go back to the beginning because these all apply to you as well. They don't just apply to your clients. And it's what I said from the very beginning. I think that sometimes we think we're on the other side of the screen and all of this applies to them, but not. And so it's the shift of, are you the owner of this company? Are you the CFO of this company? Are you taking the taste of your own medicine to make sure that you're being fiscally responsible? The price that you ask for, the investment that you ask for from your clients isn't your worth. It's what the company needs in order to be sustainable, to thrive, to be able to invest in the next hire, to invest in the technology for growth, to invest in any marketing, other marketing, the next investment, whether it's, I don't care if it's the stock market, whatever you want to invest in order to grow this company and build real wealth for yourself, it can't be based on your working hours. It is not, it's not a you problem. It's a company problem. And that shift is where people create real wealth. And I think people throw around this word wealth very often too, where it's like wealth is different from just making money and revenue next month, right? If you want to create real wealth, if you want to do that, it looks like investment. It looks like being in the mindset of, how am I going to start using my money and making my money work for me for the future? And I think that's a huge piece of this, is starting to be in that money mindset space of, this isn't just about right now. This isn't just the cash I bring in right now and how I use it right now. It's, how is this money going to work for me in the future? That's where you create real wealth for yourself.
Yeah, I love that. So how do you... Now, you've coached a lot of women into being able to build successful businesses. So if you were to give a few tips to people today that they could take action on quickly to be able to start seeing and growing their mindset in a positive direction and ultimately their wealth in a positive direction, what would you recommend to them today to be able to do that?
Yeah. So I'm going to be totally straightforward with you guys. I'm not big on the woo woo, right? Like, I'm not, I am all about law of attraction, right? It's a huge piece of, and I have faith and all of those things, right? But the biggest thing that I think will support you making progress and having the aligned and inspired results that you desire based on the mindset is taking that action, feeling that fear and doing it anyways. The first thing I would ask you to do is audit your current clients. Take an audit of your current clients. And honestly, this is exactly what we do with all of our clients now. We, their client roster, and we basically say, you got to raise the rates on this one. It's not profitable, right? And so we act as though you have a company and you have other people fulfilling on that client. So what would happen if you had to hire an accounting manager? What would happen if you hired an admin, right? How many hours would need to go into those roles? And so do a true audit. Come up with your cost of goods sold. Come up with your fixed cost. Come up with variable expenses related to that client. Truly audit each client and decide, have I created a job for myself? Or do I have a company that is thriving, that is profitable? Because if you don't do this first and you keep bringing on more clients that you can only pay yourself with and no one else, and you can't invest in the team member, you will find yourself in a place of burnout sooner than later. And I know this because I've worked with thousands. And Jamie, I know we're saying women. I work with a lot of men as well.
Oh, yeah.
So there are men in my audience and many men who buy from me as well. It was probably written in my bio, like women or something.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Clarifying for all the men out there. They're like, man, I really want to work over there. But
I have actually one of our most recent products. We actually have more men than women in it right now. And I was like, wow, this is a first. So,
interesting.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we're finally getting some men into our space. It was always like one of 10, like it was the ratio was always like 10%. But, we're starting to split ourselves up here a little more. So we'll see how it goes. So but these men and women that I see in this space of just creating a really hard job for themselves where they're working more and they can't afford to pay the next person to support them because they think they're the smartest person in the room. Well, I got news for you. You're not, right? Like, you're not the smartest person in the room. And I'm a big fan of hiring people who can do it as good as me, if not better, right? I always say that. Can you do it as good as me, if not better, right? If you can do that, like, if you can show me up on these skills, you're hired. Like, you, like, as long as it's a cultural fit as well, right? Yeah. But it's finding those people that can support you. And that's really what's going to make your company thrive in the long run. So I would say start with that. And then it's also deciding, right? Like, decide today that from now on, your minimum fee is $500, $1,000 a month. I don't work with anyone. I don't get out of bed for anyone unless they're paying me $500 a month, $1,000 a month, right? This is now my new fee schedule. And so whenever you get on the phone with somebody and maybe they're not qualified for your specific offer and you realize that there's no way, like they're not, maybe they're only making $100,000 a month and you want to offer CFO services and you're saying, well, I want to offer CFO services, but I keep getting people on the phone who are only making $100,000 a year, but you know you need people making $300,000 with a net income of at least $30,000 so you could actually have some wiggle room and do some things with them. Well, then you need to tell that person, you're not qualified for my offer, right? Mm-hmm. Stop minimizing your services and yourself and your service plans to accommodate what I call the low-hanging fruit with the low budget, because you're just going to keep accepting those people and you will receive what you keep accepting. I only receive, and literally say this, guys, I will continue to receive what I accept. And so when I stop accepting low-hanging fruit that are balling on a budget, then I will no longer get them on the phone with me, right? Yeah. I've decided that's just, I don't do it anymore, right?
Yeah.
I don't do it. That's it. You'll be surprised by just having that shift in mindset. Like, well, we only work with people who make $300,000 or more and can fit into our CFO services. And so then you start talking about the problems that those people have in your marketing, in when you're on the phone and with all of your friends and with your acquaintances and your network. When you start talking about that, those are the people who are going to come to you. That's what you're going to start attracting. But if you keep being the person who keeps being broke and keeps being the low-hanging fruit and you are accepting the low-hanging fruit, like, you're all going to hang out together, right? That's the at the end of the day, y'all are going to be broke together. And so you want to, if you want to be on the higher end of the spectrum, you got to start talking the talk, walking the walk.
Love it. I love it. Well, Alyssa, I have a couple questions I want to ask you as we wrap up here. And you've already hit some very amazing points here, but what is the one piece of advice that you wish you had received at the start of your journey when you started growing your tax practice that you think people need to take away from this conversation that will truly help them in that belief piece and the deciding piece?
The biggest piece of advice is set yourself up to sell. Set yourself up to sell. It is the biggest mistake. If I don't like to say that I live with any regrets, but when I got rid of my practice the first go around, I was not set up to sell. And it was by my own selfishness. I wanted to do something else and I didn't put myself in the position to sell. And so I pretty much gave all my clients away. And I believe that I could have gotten something out of my practice and I didn't do it. And so set yourself up to sell. Honestly, you have an asset. You might as well sell.
Oh my gosh. Preach, because I tell you, there are so many tax professionals. I actually asked a question the other day about retiring, and so many of them were just saying, yeah, I'm going to work until I'm done. They're going to pry my cold dead hands off the keyboard. And I was like, but you can go retire. But on the top of that, I wanted to just add that the things that people need to think about when it is setting yourself up to sell, it's building systems that thrive without you, whether it's team or at least having your clients be competent users of technology is critical to be valuable. It is your team being competent users of technology so that they can then hand off the system to someone else. And it's not going to be shocking to this younger accountant tax professional coming in and buying your practice, they don't have to start from scratch, because what we're seeing is 2 to 3 times more for a practice that is technologically based.
Yes.
So if you're looking at retiring in the next 5 years, you need to start this now. Do not be scared. Pull off the Band-Aid. Do the work. Hire people like us to help you make the transition, to make it as smooth and simple as possible. But you have to do this. And if you're 20 years from retiring or you're 10 years from retiring, doing it now is going to make those 10 or 20 years so much more enjoyable as well when you get the systems set up to sell. And when I say systems, it means staff, it means technology, it means you not working your bones, you're to the bones every year because you have efficiencies there. And when you can pull yourself out for weeks or months at a time, that's when you have systems. And you need to be thinking about that. So I love that as a takeaway for everyone.
Yeah. I just want to add to that a couple things that really pay attention to in setting yourself up to sell. You want to avoid key client risk. So don't have a key client that takes up, that's 50% of your revenue. So you want to avoid key client risk. You want to avoid key man risk. Make sure that there's no one person that is reliant, that includes you, in order for the firm to run. That person were to quit tomorrow, fall off the earth, run in front of a bus, God forbid, whatever it is, can your firm still run? Can your practice still run? That's huge. And people will pay more for teams. So if you have a competent team, you'll pay more for the asset that comes with a competent team, has a good culture and good staff. I have since been offered, I've had offers for my company that I have today. And the reason I've had offers for it is because I have a competent team. They wanted my team to fulfill on everything. And that is why I got such good offers. And so I know firsthand people will pay more for a competent team to make the transition even better for your clients. And so if you could build the culture and a competent team around your company that can continue to fulfill those clients after you've sold off, man, you're made in the shade. So biggest takeaway I can give as far as money mindset, stop thinking about tomorrow, start thinking about your future. And the micro steps for today and tomorrow will come so much easier.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, Alyssa, how can people follow you, get into your world, learn about the amazing products and programs that you're running?
Yeah. The biggest way, you can go to our website, which is alyssajdillon.com. Pretty simple.
Yep.
We have a Facebook group. It is called Advisory Accountants. I forget the tagline of it, but you search for that. We'll drop it. We'll drop a link.
Yeah, it'll be in the description below.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so those are probably the best places to find us. We also have a awesome masterclass that teaches people how to build and sell advisory offers. And you can find that right from our website as well, if you were interested in doing that.
Awesome. I love it. And thank you so much for your transparency and sharing today. I think there's so much wisdom that you've shared that will help people. If you're not thinking about setting yourself up to sell and the steps to get there, that is going to be huge. And also the mindset, because once you start just making the decision that you're worth more and you're worthy of receiving, it changes the game. And it will take time. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you just keep taking those micro steps, as you said, you will see massive traction in a year, 2 years. And in 5 years, it'll be a whole different game. So
yeah, love absolutely.
That. Well, thank you, Alyssa, for being here. Thank you for sharing your story. Really appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
Thank you for tuning in to Diary of a Tax Practice Owner. We hope today's episode inspired you to take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating. Your feedback helps us reach more listeners just like you. Don't forget to follow us on social media or on our website at workflowsfortaxpros.com for more resources and insights. Until next time, remember, automation equals freedom, and building a business that you love is within your reach. See you soon.